The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, author and speaker Angela Thomas shares lessons she learned from a cleaning lady.
It was just her. And she said, Angela, I am standing here at the front door of your house and I am telling the devil he cannot come in. That a woman of God lives in here and the children of the woman of God live in here and he cannot come in here. She said, I am spitting on the devil.
Honest questions women ask. Next on Life Today.
Thank you. Thank you for being such an encouragement, all of you. And to you, do come join us sometime. We tape each week here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We'd love for you to join us here in our studios. I'm James Robinson, and I am thrilled to present Life Today every day. And Betty is normally with me. This chair is empty over here, and I regret that. I've shared and want to mention again, she had a blood vessel burst in her left eye. It swollen nearly shut, and it just it looks bad. It has happened several times, but not to this extent. I think this may be the second time in 15 years that Betty has missed taping because of any kind of a challenge or illness, and I really miss her. Angela Thomas is with us, and I know Betty regrets that she's not here. Angela is so gifted to teach and to communicate, and she's written many books that are great. We're going to talk about one that has led to a Bible study that you'll want to know about. Would you welcome Angela Thomas to Life Today?
Hey.
I'm glad to see you.
It's good to see you. So, Betty, I miss you.
I know, I do too. I feel like I'm really totally incomplete.
I don't know how to be with you without Betty.
Well, I understand that. I don't know how to be here without her. And, you know, she, even though she's my kind of my cheerleader, and she doesn't really... She asked me not to ask her to talk. I mean, she really does say that. And you know how shy she is, but she's very, very effective, and we really miss her. Angela, I want to talk to you about the book that actually led to the Bible study that you want to talk about. You wrote a book called Do You Know Who I Am?
Yeah.
And other brave questions. Brave questions. I think that's interesting because a lot of women don't want to ask the questions about any personal need. Women have a great capacity to bear up the load and burdens that others either lay on them unknowingly or even deliberately, it seems, and the responsibilities they gladly assume.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's like, I don't really want to unload or really tell you what's going on with
mm-hmm.
me. So it has to be brave when they say, do you know who I am or what's going on?
That's
tell
right.
us a little bit about this book, and then I want us to talk about brave, honest questions women ask, because really that's kind of what I was referencing. It takes a brave woman to ask some of these questions. Talk about these two books.
Well, you know, I wrote a book several years ago called Do You Think I'm Beautiful? And it was about a woman coming to know the Father's heart of love for her, that God calls you beautiful. And so 3 or 4 years ago, some women who know me well came to me and they said, we think the title of your next book is Do You Know Who I Am? And I didn't like that title. I thought it seemed self-centered and, you know, too, well, who are you going to ask the question to? You know, what can I ask my husband, ask my children, do you know who I am? No one has the answer that would satisfy the soul. And so I just kind of put that title beside me and left it, went on to do something else. And James, I know one morning about 4:30, 5 o'clock, God woke me up straight up because I don't normally do that. And I knew that I heard him saying to me, the question is for me. Ask me. And I knew that I was supposed to ask the Lord, do you know who I am? But I was supposed to be honest. Do you know that I feel insecure? Or do you know that I'm undisciplined? Or do you know I struggle with anxiety? Or do you know that I feel afraid? Or do you know I'm suffering a thorn? Do you know that I'm worn out? And I sat beside my bed that morning and just filled up a yellow pad full of my struggles. Some I'd been victorious with, some God had already granted a grace about, some I still saw in myself or saw in the women that I have the privilege of ministering to. And I just wrote furiously every struggle, every weakness, every failure, everything that I could ask of the Lord. Do you see all of this? Do you know who I am, really? And then I knew God said to me, now, do you know who I am? I am the God who sees you, and I am your strength, and I am the one who makes you brave when you struggle, and I am the God of all comfort, and I am the one who will give you rest. And over and over and over, every struggle and every weakness found its answer in the character of God. And so I knew that's what this book was supposed to be about a woman bringing the truth of her humanity, the way she doesn't really particularly want to be, that she want you and I, we want to be more before the Lord, but the truth of it to God, and then seeing how every answer is found in the truth of who our Lord is.
And He can handle who we are. Mm-hmm. Now, tell us about the Bible study, because this is what you'd really like for people to access. And by the way, website, how would they go to your website and say, I want to know where Angela's speaking, I want to know where she's going.
So easy.
I want to know if I can get some of the resource material.
Where just AngelaThomas.com, or they can find me on Facebook or Twitter or all those ways we communicate.
All right. Now, talk to me about...
Well, from the book came the Bible study. Mm-hmm. And so we whittled down even more the struggles to spend 6, maybe 7 weeks in the study called Brave. And women are interacting with this study all across the country, talking about their honest struggles. The first session is called, Do You Know That I'm Worn Out? And it turns out that almost every woman I meet in some capacity, in some area of her life, is worn out. Maybe she's worn out working with this child who's difficult, or her marriage has worn her out, or she is physically weary because life is so demanding for her.
Can working at the church wear you out, too?
There's some of the weariest people I know. I love it because the Lord has given us so many provisions for the weary in Scripture. It's just that we've gotten so busy, we run right past them. Mm-hmm. For instance, we run past the gift of the Sabbath, and that we could practice a rest mm-hmm. that God has given to us in Scripture. And those of us in the church are the worst about it.
Yeah, and even to get still and quiet long enough that you could hear something other than the sounds around you.
That's right.
And get off into solitude where you can hear. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think people do. I don't think preachers do it enough.
No.
I don't think church people do it enough. I don't think moms and dads do it enough.
No.
We need, does it?
We have to model for our children. We, at my house, we call it keeping the Sabbath, or I'm going to take a Sabbath. Because sometimes we work so hard on Sunday in ministry that I really think it's okay, the Lord, that we take our Sabbath on Monday. Or that we just practice a keeping of the Sabbath for the purpose of rest and restoration, that we would be like Jesus, away with the Lord in stillness and give an opportunity to hear Him. I love it that my teenage children are catching on. And I even heard my 18-year-old son say to me a few weeks ago, Mom, I wanted to get all my homework done on Saturday night because I want to keep the Sabbath tomorrow. He's getting it. But he's only going to get it because he sees his mom practicing the keeping of the Sabbath, and that it is from wisdom. It is a place of following Christ to give ourselves that time of rest and restoration.
I pray that for everyone, they'll find that place of solitude and rest and hear the Lord. Tell me some of the other brave, honest questions that women ask that you think would be pertinent to our audience that they perhaps are asking. Maybe you can shed some light on it.
Some of the women that I encounter, and it has been the same for me, are asking of the Lord, do you know that I feel invisible? You know, that weary mom who's raising those babies, and there's nobody there to say thank you or to give her an encouragement. She's standing in her laundry room alone every day trying to match those socks and fold those baby clothes, and nobody sees.
I think a lot of women feel that way.
They do.
I think a lot of people feel that way.
We do.
What's the answer for her? What does she need to hear or know?
She needs to know that, according to Genesis 16, that God is El Roi. He is the God who sees. And He stands with us there. He stands with a single mom as she shoulders the burden and seemingly feeling unseen and alone. And He stands with that woman who feels invisible in her marriage. He sees what you sacrifice, and He sees the integrity of your heart. For that woman who sits in the same cubicle day after day, week after week, year after year, God wants us to know, I'm with you. You are in my presence. You are never unseen to me. And it's been a difficult lesson for me because life can get you swirled around and turned around, and God had to send a woman into my life to teach me about living in the presence of God. When I became a single mom, I lived about 7 years as a single mom, a friend of mine came to me and she said, Angela, you need help. And I said, I do. She said, would it help you if I sent the lady who cleans for me to help you, maybe every 3 or 4 weeks? I said, are you kidding? And so this little woman named Beverly started coming to my house. And she had been to my house 4 or 5 times. And she came to me and she said, Angela, you really need help. And I said, I know. And she said, would it help you if I came to your house every Wednesday morning? And if I just worked 4 hours, as much as I could do, do you think you could pay me $50? I said, I'll find it somehow, some way. And so this little woman, uneducated in the things of this world, but very educated in the knowledge of the Lord, this little woman, about so big, started coming to my house every Wednesday. And you need to know about her that God had given her naturally red hair, but she decided to help the Lord. And so she dyed her hair fire engine red. You know that, whoo, red hair. She was very proud of her fiery red hair, but she was even more proud of her fiery spirit because she was the kind of woman that you could hear her coming before you would see her. You know, she would be singing and praying and quoting and hollering and laughing, and you never knew how she was going to come in the door. She was always going to be loud. You just didn't know what it was going to be about. And so Beverly started coming to my house every Wednesday morning, and it turned out that I'd never heard of this before. She came every Wednesday for 8 years and never missed a Wednesday. And I guess it must have taken an 8-year every Wednesday kind of lesson for me to get it. Because this woman would come in, and I remember one of the first things that she taught me, she would lay on my children's bed, and each child, and she would pray for that child before she had stripped the sheets. I'm thinking, how do you know how to do that? I am their mother. It never occurred to me to lay on their bed and pray for them. She'd say things like, is this one having a little more difficult time at school because his bed is a little more messy than normal? Where does that kind of discernment come from, you know? And she began to teach me things like that. And this one day, I was in my little office off to the side, and I heard all kinds of commotion at my front door. It sounded like there were people in my house. And I went around the corner, and I said, hey, what are you doing? And it was just her. And she said, Angela, I am standing here at the front door of your house, and I am telling the devil he cannot come in. That a woman of God lives in here, and the children of the woman of God live in here, and he cannot come in here. She said, I am spitting on the devil. Well, then I had to turn my head and smile a little bit because I never heard of spitting on the devil. And before I know it, she's got me over there spitting on the devil. She came in my office one day, and I don't know what she asked me. She must have said, how you doing? And I must have responded with a heavy heart because she said to me, well, get down on your knees. And I said, okay. I am the Bible scholar. She is the cleaning lady. But she is the boss of me. So she put me down on the floor, and then she laid on top of me. She started praying and carrying on and singing and marching. And I can't even make this up. She had a feather duster in her hand. She went to marching and telling the Lord what we needed him to do and the devil where to go. And she just was on and on and on and on, you know. She must have heard from the Lord because she said, get up. And I said, okay. But this was the kind of woman God had to send to my house every week because every Wednesday morning she'd come in and she'd start like this. Angela, this morning I woke up and sitting at the foot of my bed was the Lord. And I said, good morning, Lord. And he said, good morning, Beverly. And I said, it's good to see you. And he said, I've been sitting here all night watching over you. She said, me and the Lord, we talked all through breakfast, and he rode here in the car with me. We've been talking about you all the way here. It took 8 years. But God sent this woman who didn't have very much education to show me what it looks like when a woman knows that she lives inside the presence of God and that he's here and that he's powerful. I mean, that'll make you brave. When you know who stands in front of you and behind you, and that sweet little Beverly, she'd get a bill in the mail she didn't know was coming. She'd say, Lord, you got a bill today. We don't know how you're going to pay it, but I expect you will. And with one of those children would carry on or act up, she'd say, Lord, them kids are yours. because she knew he was here and he's present. And she was not alone and she was not invisible. And you know what I began to pray? Lord, make me like her. Mm-hmm. I want to be old, fiery, red-headed woman who knows that she lives in the presence of God. Because when you know who you belong to, it changes everything.
It's really blessing me to hear you. I got my plow cleaned by a carpet cleaner who cleaned the plow of the big preacher that wanted to know if he knew my reputation. Mm. But he did. He read my mail. God sent a carpet cleaner to help me. Boy, it's just a blessing. Yeah. A nobody to show me who the real somebody was is what you saw.
That's right.
And it's been a beautiful story. Don't you love hearing? Don't you love hearing the story of just the grace of God? What a blessing! This what Angela's got is this openness for you to open up and get honest. And she got blessed so much, and she's blessed us. And God's given you such a sweet heart and such a sweet gift to be able to catch us up in the presence of the Lord. Because we can really see that sweet lady. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of folks that have been sent somewhere. We had a couple here that had a housekeeper that said, you thought we were here to clean your house, you're here to win them to Christ. And that's what the lady came all the way from South America to do.
Wow.
Led the whole family to Christ.
Wow.
He said, "Dad, you just think I'm here to clean your house.
That's
I'm
right.
here to tell you about Jesus."
That's
so they
right.
were big shots. And they found Christ. So you know what? You're not invisible. You're not overlooked. Mm-hmm. You're as valuable and precious to God, more than you could ever imagine. And he wants to use you just like he used that cleaning lady to help the big Bible teacher come to know the greatness of God in a beautiful way. Father, I just pray for everyone to see just how much you're looking after them and how much you care for them and how you want to meet their needs and use them to be a blessing. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, I thank you for that, Father. There again is Angela's website, and the book and the Bible study. Do You Know Who I Am? The book, the Bible study, Brave Honest Questions That Women Ask. I would suggest that you consider having a Bible study in your own church or maybe in your community and you go through this incredible teaching. It'll be a blessing to you. Mm-hmm. You know, Angela, we find such a thrill in our personal lives meeting the needs in other people's lives.
Amen.
Really noticing the people that feel like nobody notices.
That's right.
Because there isn't anyone God doesn't notice. I want you, if you would, to just look and tell me if you don't see a need, a legitimate need, that you could effectively meet. I want you to watch closely. Then I'm going to tell you how you can meet the need. And I'm going to encourage you to get a book that we prepared, Believe This, Not That. Because see, the enemy will try to get you to believe a lie. We want to show you what to believe. I want to send this to you. But I want you to look at something. And I want you just to see. Can I do something about what I see? You can.
My name is Dufin. Te ora sanga mbuvumbe fe zau chima nambula zau rai mandrene. Mijale. Azuti ereni titirin razu. Malahi sakaf. Le kere ngavau kere. Chimanan sakafu yere kere. Chimanan kane miruru avau. Ajaja rue anu valuvula rue vula. Lahani terak. Ana ajaja rue. Animat. Tundra maro malutu ranu. Tiranu tu malutu. Marare titruai. Ranu tu malutu. Tiranu tuk. Nala he lurahu. Amana kurua reo. Ie maharera kahi. Ni kuhak. Azu ti burukulu zirahu tiao chimishi tia. Ti chabua ku mamunze la putali fe chimishi. Si manambula hikarakara ku. Ni chale.
Daphine, I wish you could hear me. I know you wouldn't be able to understand me, and we had to have a translator so we could understand you and graphically put it on the screen so our viewers would understand you. But let me just tell you something. We care, and we can't help you. I didn't just see that little child sitting there on that rock and think, just some little kid. No. All the little children are precious in his sight. He didn't overlook them. But he's looking for hands and hearts and a mind that cares enough to say, I'll help. So I'm asking you to help us drill a water well in that area. We're going to drill more in that country, Madagascar, than probably any small land mass, because the need's so desperate. But we'll be drilling water wells in 15 or 20 countries. You determine how many we can drill. But we drill hundreds every year, depending upon how many of you will help with gifts of $48. $48 gives 10 people water for the rest of their life. That's what it breaks out to. You take a $4,800 well, that's what they cost, $4,800, give at least 1,000 people water. Sometimes it's more than that. But that would break out to about $4.80 for the rest of their life in these incredible, desperately needy areas. If you could give a well, $4,800, many of you tell us, James, every year we do it. Betty and I give a well every time we have the project. We started years ago and said, God, we want to do it. And I'm telling you, God says when you are generous and you bless others, you yourself will be blessed and you'll be refreshed. God blesses us when we bless others. It's a blessing to bless others. I don't give to get, I give to give. And God blesses those who bless so we can keep blessing. Could you give a well, $4,800? Could you give $2,400 toward it and say, I pray someone joins me? Or $1,200 and pray three will? Whatever you can do, do it. But remember, $48 or $144, you got 10 people water the rest of their life, or 30 people water the rest of their life. So I don't know what you can do, but there's a level at which you can help. So I'm asking you right now, would you do it? Would you be an answer to that mother's concern for her children? She's already lost children, disease and contaminated water. We can correct that. We don't have to do any research on it. She just needs a water well. We don't have to do a study. We know what she needs. Please dial the number. Take your bank card, use it like a check. That's how you should always use them. If you write a check, make it to Life. Go online, lifetoday.org, and make your gift. Father, I'm praying that every person watching will give something. Will you? I really believe you're praying that God will meet the need, but can you help meet the need? Would you dial the number? Make that gift of a well or toward the well. There's no level too small. We have some gifts that we want to send you. For any gift, I want to send you the book, Believe This, Not That. Every question, everything that's ever confronted you, and you said, I don't know what to do, I can't handle it, here's the answer, in the Word of God. All the different questions and challenges, all the different points of conflict, you're going to be blessed. We always want to bless you. We're going to send you the beautiful water mugs, the Water for Life mug, the coffee cups and mugs that you can use that will remind you of the importance of water. And then the beautiful lamb and the lion bronze. It's one of the most beautiful art pieces we've ever presented. It's the peace of God that brings the impossible together. And we're doing the impossible for many when we give them water. Thank you for making that call. By the way, if you should ever get a busy, people are either calling to get help or calling to give help. You be persistent and you get through. Thank you for doing it.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is that there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we will begin drilling 350 new water wells for remote villages in 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Believe This, Not That, a brand new topical Bible promise book that will encourage you in every area of life. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request our newly released Water for Life mug set, a daily reminder of the clean water you make possible to those who thirst. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request the 2012 commemorative bronze sculpture, The Lamb and the Lion. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
Can I encourage you to ask for the lion and the lamb, or the lamb and lion bronze? Absolutely beautiful. Oh, I just love that. You know, that's the peace of God. And we want to send this to you to say thank you for giving water to an entire village. I want to mention, too, our son Randy has written a book, God Wants You to Be Happy, Discovering Deeper Joy Than You Ever Imagined. I'm telling you, this is an awesome book. I don't care if he is our son. You'll like this. It's in the bookstores. And I want to remind you again that Angela's incredible teaching, brave, honest questions women ask. And I know you've enjoyed her. Would you join me saying thanks, Angela? Angela, you're such a blessing. You come back anytime.
Thank you.
I want to hear some more about that red-headed lady, all right? Thank all of you for watching live today. And thank you so much for helping us provide fresh, clean water.
Am I thinking in the spirit here, or is this just my flesh? Is this God, or is it just me?
Spiritual discernment tomorrow on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.